Well, today's episode is really special. I have to tell you, this is a wonderful treat for me today, and I know it will be for you. I get to interview the one and only Lisa Mitchum, who is my wonderful bride and partner in Christ for close to 40 years now. And we've been serving the Lord together in marriage, and we've been here at Christian International Vision Church for almost 26 years, coming up soon. And so in today's episode, I know that you're going to hear the heart of God from Lisa. I know that you're going to hear a prophetic dream that God gave her that really set the tone that helped us to always try to have the true heart of God when we minister prophetically and when we lead worship and when we go anywhere and teach and preach or whatever, or when we're just with people, you know, trying to instruct or help along the way. So today's episode, I know God is going to bless you. He's going to reset your heart. He's going to warm your heart. He's going to give you a purity of motive that I believe we're all looking for. So here we go. Welcome to the Prophetic Worship Leader, the podcast that takes the uncertainty out of leading prophetic worship so you can flow with authority and confidence. I'm Dean Mitchum, your host, and I'm so thankful that you joined me. Please take a moment and follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel and consider supporting us on Patreon, where you can help keep these episodes coming every week. Well, Lisa, I'm so glad that you're on the show with me today. What a treat it is for me. I know it's going to be for everyone else. So we'll get right into our questions because I know that people that listen, you know, they love our story. They love to hear a story, but they want to make sure it applies and how they can learn from it. And they appreciate overcomers. So how did you get into leading worship?
Well, hello, everybody, by the way. Probably in my mid-teens, my mom would have Bible studies and I would sing a song. Whether it was clap your hands, it was, you know, worship sounded a lot different back then, but it would be a few ladies at a Bible study and I would lead a song. And, that's how I started a long time ago, you know, just an intimate group.
Yeah. That's awesome. So just opportunity and need.
Yes. Yeah. And I, you know, it was still nerve wracking, you know, but once you start singing and worshiping, it goes away.
That's a good point. it's funny because like it wasn't like you were looking to lead worship.
No,
you just love the Lord and you like to sing about Him and so somebody needed you.
Yep, of course, Mom was always out there pushing. Yeah. Okay, come on, you need to sing.
That's true. That was her.
That's what our parents do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the next question is, how did that lead into prophetic worship? How did it get into the prophetic realm?
It wasn't until we came in contact with CI that we really realized. I was always, I can remember having dreams and I saw things. So I was prophetic because I heard the voice of God and I realized it was the Lord at a young age. We used to go to a prophetic meeting in my teens. But as far as singing and worship, it wasn't until Christian International. And then it all made sense.
So it was a few years or a few decades, maybe.
Yes. No, it was.
And during that time, did you always feel like the Spirit was doing something, but you didn't quite know what it was or how it all worked out?
Absolutely. You get to a place in praise and worship, and you know, and you could feel the anointing, but it's like you didn't know where to go with it.
Hmm. So there was something, but what?
What? Yes. You knew the Holy Spirit was moving, but what do you do with that? Do you go, are you singing the right song? there was just a lot of confusion on what to do.
Uncertainty, maybe?
Yeah. Okay. Uncertainty. Yeah, that would be more like it.
That's really amazing. So many of you probably are feeling and sensing that same thing, that there's something, there's more that, but you don't know quite how to harness or understand how the Spirit flows through spontaneity. And so it was really key that we came among the company of prophets.
Yes.
With Bishop Hammond teaching us how to hear the voice of God and, you know, express that.
Yes. And a lot of times you would sing in the spirit, especially in intimate meetings, you would just sing, you know, in your spirit language. But that didn't go anywhere. That's all you would do.
Yeah. Right. So there was no direction or instruction.
No, we didn't know what to do with it.
Apostolic authority, prophetic declarations, or prophetic song releases.
Right.
Well, now, this particular ministry has to do with skills. You know, but the most common skill would be singing. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that would be instruments, playing. But there's also skills that go beyond that, like leadership, organization, really guiding people and helping people fulfill their role as well. So in your particular case, what skills have you had to learn and develop to do this ministry?
Probably hearing God in a way that to represent Him and to make it clear to people. I think that's probably one of my biggest, I don't know if you'd call an accomplishment, but I hear things and see things. I'm a seer. So to be able to bring that into worship, whether it's in my prayer time and in a direction on how the service, what God is saying for the service, and it could be just through a song or just one word that God wants to do, and it makes all the difference. I think that's probably one of my greatest skills that I've learned. You know, I've always, you know, of course you learn to sing better, you learn to flow better, but I think that's probably my greatest skill.
Yeah, I would agree. And that, you know, it follows the scripture, by reason of use, you develop our spiritual senses and our spiritual gifts. So the more you do it, the better it becomes. There's a confidence that builds the more you do it.
Yes. And absolutely. So, yeah, and even, you know, in writing songs, you know, that's been a skill learned by something. When you see it, you hear God, you see a picture, you have a dream, and then to be able to interpret that in words and to bring it to where the people can understand and flow with it,
yeah,
you know, in a congregation. So that's another area of skill that's been developed.
And songwriting.
Yes.
And skill writing and melody.
Yes.
You know, creation. And part of the process of songwriting is to help the church declare what prophets and apostles are saying.
Absolutely.
So from a prophetic apostolic point of view, songwriting serves additional purpose of training and teaching and doctrine.
Exactly.
So what you said was important about taking what God is saying and put it in a musical form.
And applying.
Applying that, yep, to songs.
Of course, so, I've learned so much through you, and we've learned a lot together.
You have. You're a great co-writer.
But you're great because I, you know, I don't play an instrument, but I can hear God, and I know what He's saying. So together, we make a good team in that area.
We do.
You can hone it with the music. I can hear something. I know what it's supposed to sound like.
Yes.
Of course, sometimes I've gotten a song. There's been times I've gotten a song where I've heard the whole, not the whole melody, but probably the main part of the song.
Right.
But yet you help me put it all together.
Well, it's fun working together.
It is.
And collaborating, you know, we have a unique combination, a husband and wife writing together. It's a blessing. But you can also collaborate with other writers.
Absolutely.
Accomplishing,
yeah,
the same thing. I can't get away with stuff with Lisa, so she has to. She's my honest partner, and we try to teach, you know, treat each other that way, that could be better, or that's not the best way to say it, or that's awesome, but we work together in that. And for those of you who don't know, we're coming up on our 40th anniversary.
Yeah,
this
can
year.
You believe 40 years? It's hard to believe. It's so, like, sometimes time feels like it's stood still, and then, yeah, there's times that, wow. 40 years. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Are we that old?
I know it. No. Something's exponential. What do you call that? But yeah. And so during that time, we've written probably over 100 songs and released about 17 worship albums. And so doing that, you find a lot of, you learn a lot of things that you do good and that you didn't do so well. But you learn, exactly, in the whole process, but you're developing skills.
Right.
And, you know, so skill development is a good part. And you've always been a caretaker, so to speak, of being careful of what we do and skills that was part of the skills I saw you develop too. Your heart has always been a caretaker, but you would always look at what am I asking the worship team to do, or what am I asking them to do, you know, without giving them what they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So she helps me stay accountable and has helped me stay accountable over these years. So our next question then would be, what do you recommend for people who want to get trained in prophetic worship? How to hear the voice of God, all these.
Well, I would say, first of all, have a strong foundation of the word. And then you need to know how to use what God's put in you. And I would say Christian International has a prophetic school. That would be awesome to get started. We also have APT training here. And we have those that go out. But I would say as far as worship goes, we have the prophetic worship school that is available. That would be awesome. I mean, it's hands-on. It's, you know, it's through, it's online. So it's available to you wherever you're at. But it's more personalized instruction.
Yes. Yeah, so to review those real quick, ChristianInternational.com is where you would go, and we'll make sure we'll put the link in the show notes. And ChristianInternational.com, you can get your apostolic and prophetic training. The APT sessions are coming up in September. They repeat it again probably in February. But it's a great place to learn to hear the voice of God. And then if you go beyond that, you can get into our School of the Prophets, and we'll have a link for you there as well if you feel more of an in-depth training. Now, that's a 90-day in-depth program.
It's heavy duty, but it's excellent.
Excellent. And then the next step, or any of these steps can go in order, but we recommend the Apostolic Prophetic Training first, and or the School of the Prophets. And then we have our Prophetic Worship School. You can have that at propheticworshipschool.com. And this is learning how to flow with authority and confidence. So whether it's through us or anybody else, learn how to hear the voice of God.
Yes.
Develop your skills. And as we like to say, if you learn a skill on an instrument, then you can learn a song. And once you learn the song, you can flow in the spirit because you're not thinking about how to play an instrument or how to sing this song. You really go to the next level.
Right.
So same thing with prophetic worship. Once you learn the process of how to combine scripture, skill, and spirit into a flow, you kind of come into a new level.
Yes. Yeah, it comes out of the technical, and you're able to relax and just be free.
Awesome. That's great. Well, it's for the lack of being sappy and stuff, it's a joy to minister together.
Yes.
I've seen what you've gone through in life, and I've seen the worthiness of God displayed in through you in worship, in the ups and the downs, and he is always worthy to you.
Yes, always. How could we not worship a faithful, worthy, amazing God? He's always here with us, and he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. So how could we not give him our all?
Amen.
So, I mean, he's just everything.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. Amen. I'll try to stick to the show script. So you and I, of course, being married, we faced everything together. And one of the questions we always try to ask, because it seems to be a lingering thought in people's mind, is if they don't do this full time, they're not in ministry. Of course, we've blown away those wrong beliefs and such before. So the question for you, what economic advice would you give people or those who feel they are called or be involved in prophetic worship?
I would say continue to do what, there's a secondary and then there's a first. And I would say you have to provide for yourself or for your family. And I would say you would probably need something else. After all these years, you know, we've done this full time. I would say God's been faithful in the midst of it. But I would say have something else and do this also, especially getting started. You can't rely on this as your all in all your provision. Yes. I know, through the years we believe God, but I just feel like, you know, if you have your secondary and you still do this, I think that's still the best scenario because I mean,
yeah. Well, it's a biblical point that it is the Lord that gives us the power to create wealth.
Yes.
And you don't have to limit yourself to one job or one stream or, you know.
Exactly.
And to understand that, you know, this should fit, learn the financial aspects of how to handle money.
Absolutely.
Learn how it works.
That's so important.
Yeah, and we just took off thinking if we serve the Lord, the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah, it was, some of it was wrong thinking.
Yeah.
And we struggled through things, you know. We're grateful now. We can look back, but that was not fun times. You know, they were hard times.
And it really wasn't necessary.
And it could have been avoided.
Yeah, it could have been avoided.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so that we have one more question to ask. Okay. And that's, what one piece of advice would you give someone when they're actually leading prophetic worship?
I would say as they're leading.
Yeah.
Like in the moment?
Yeah. Like they're getting up to lead worship. What's one piece of advice you would give them? You're training somebody and you're sending them out for their launch.
Okay. I would say do what you normally do as far as let's worship.
Yeah.
First of all, that's key. Mm-hmm. Let's worship God and then allow God to begin to move through you in a way that exhorts the people, exalts him, and under direction of your leadership.
That's right.
Flow. You know, let those, and those times allow in between to flow. You know, sing in the Spirit. Even, you know, to get moving. Sometimes that helps. Sing in the Spirit, and then you'll hear. I mean, and I think it's really important before to be able to, that would be the key, before you even get up, to spend that time with the Lord, to know what he's saying. You know, like we talked about, if it's just one word or if it's a scripture, you start there and, you know, really take that time with the Lord to know what he's saying for that particular service. And when you know that, you can move in that.
Amen. So you're saying, you know, God will guide you for that service.
Absolutely.
During
yeah.
that service.
Yes.
And all while you're under the leadership, you know.
Under your leadership. Yes.
Because, yeah. guys, this is a partner's ministry. We can't just go off and jump off the deep end.
No.
And we have to be in a house that allows prophetic worship.
Mm-hmm.
Your pastor should be in agreement with prophetic worship. You should be in a place where that takes place. Now, you can be prophetic. God can guide you by the Spirit, and you can still serve and not be a nuisance. You can, you know, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So God can lead you and guide you in prophetic worship. Now, we do like to wrap up the show with asking a couple of unique questions. And one is, what is the funniest or scariest thing you've had to experience leading worship?
Well, this last Sunday, something happened. I was late getting on the platform, which never happens, but I happened to be a little late, and pastors were late, and it was like we had the flow. Anyway, my microphone, you know, we're working with in-ear monitors now, and that's a challenge within itself. So we're making sure those are all connected and on. And so I get out there and I turn my mic on during prayer, and my microphone set on mute. And I'm looking at it and I'm turning it off and on, and it's still staying on mute. So I'm probably a distraction because I'm right behind pastors praying, and I'm looking at my microphone going, okay, what do I do? Because I did everything I knew to do and what I've done in the past. So I look at my friend beside me, one of the other singers, worshipers, and I said, hey, you know, she has longer nails than I do. So I thought, well, maybe if she presses the right button, like there's another button on the outside, of course. And she tries and there's nothing. So then I go over to Dean. Of course, he's playing and he's already ministering as far as musically during the prayer. And I'm like, I whisper in his ear, this is set on mute. What am I supposed to do? So I'm like, okay, you know. And he goes, go to the sound man and get a check. So before the everybody's set, everything's going on, I have to run to the back to the sound man. So that was nerve-wracking. You know, it makes you feel like, you know, just gives you that there's anxiety, you know, things just aren't working right. And he tried a couple things and finally had to take the microphone, the batteries out and figure out on the inside what was going on. And he pressed a couple buttons and switched it up, and it worked. But yeah, and then I had to go back up, and within, you know, a minute or so, we had to start the first song. So that was a little nerve-wracking and crazy, crazy morning. Yeah. So that was probably one of my, as far as anxiety levels, you know, where you get,
right,
you know, scary.
Yeah.
Where, what am I supposed to do? Because I had some of the lead parts of some of the songs, carrying the lead to the first song, actually. We did Freedom.
And so it's like you're in a crunch time, in a live or die moment, and you can't figure out what's going on.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just like not too sure. Yeah.
Well, our next question then is, what's one of the most profound experiences or testimonies you've experienced?
I would say a dream that I had that the Lord had given me. It was a few years ago now. But it has so impacted me and impacted the way I worship and who he is and what he really cares about during worship and what we do in life. It was a dream. I'm going to share the dream with you, and I pray that it impacts you and it impacts your heart to know, you know, it's just another treasure of who he is and how wonderful he is. I was... In the dream, I was coming down this long hallway. It was so long. And I noticed to the right of me, two large angels with two large doors open. And they were bidding everyone that was in that hallway. There were a lot of people in that hallway walking. And they were walking just like I was walking. Now, I don't remember being in the line that they were in, but I saw the line. But the angel bid me to come through the door, and I'm like, oh, I'm coming through the door, you know? So I come into that room, and there was just this mist and this beautiful feeling of everything's okay. And I was loved and I was fulfilled. And it was just the most amazing, amazing place that I've ever been in. And, I heard, what I heard was a heartbeat, and it would be like you listen to a monitor and you listen to a heartbeat and what it sounds like. And it was like spirit to spirit. It wasn't anything that I heard through my natural ears, but through his spirit to my spirit. He said how much he loved his people and how much, you know, and it just reminds me how Jesus gave his life for all of us so that we could have eternal life. And that's really what this dream, I mean, it was like, how do we minister? Because we need the heart of God to be able to minister to his people in a way that he wants, not the way we want, but the way he wants. And his heart was so amazing. And his love, I knew I was loved. You know, the room permeated with his love. There was no question. I didn't even, you know, there was no question of sin or question of did I do this right or that right? It was just pure love, his acceptance. And I actually turned around and looked towards the door. And that's when I heard, you know, the sound, you know, just through my spirit, how much he loved his people. But yet I saw all these people just walking by the door and not coming in. And in my spirit, I questioned, why aren't they coming in? But I began to see that they had all these cameras around their necks, and they were dressed in like a touristy dress, you know, like their shorts and their Hawaiian shirts or... you know, and then the cameras around their necks, and they had their sun hats on. And in other words, they weren't interested in what God had to say or his heartbeat. It was like, I've been there and I've done that. In other words, I can take the picture. I've been there. I can just show that I've done it. Or you know, and I think as worshipers, we can get to that place where it becomes routine. And it becomes, we can get weary in it. But God's saying we need to be refreshed by His Spirit and know His heartbeat and ask God to give us His heartbeat for His people. And I just ask Him that today for you to have His heartbeat. And Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for this time. And we thank You, Lord, that You revealed Your heartbeat to us. And Lord, we want to care about what You care about. So God, we ask You, Lord, to bring revelation to our hearts, our minds, our spirits, that we would know You in a new way. And we lay down all that weariness and all the things that cause us to think and act in a certain way. We give it to You today, and we thank You, Lord. We take on the revelation of eternal life for Your people and to minister to them in a way that brings life to them. And we just thank You, Lord, because it's Your heart and Your love. And we thank You, Lord, for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So powerful, Lisa. Amen. Thank you for sharing your heart. Thank you for sharing that dream and being the taking up the prophetic mantle God has called you to. And you've been a prophetic mom, a prophetic wife, a prophetic elder, and a prophet, you know, to churches and to believers everywhere. It's a joy. You know, I know they're going to be blessed by today's show, today's episode.
Thank you.
So we appreciate you spending time with us and being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening to the Prophetic Worship Leader, the podcast that takes the uncertainty out of leading prophetic worship so you can flow with authority and confidence. Please visit deanmitchum.com, where you'll find a lot of helpful resources and can order my books. Please connect with us on social media channels and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And consider supporting us on Patreon to help these powerful weekly podcasts reach more people. Remember, every worship leader can flow in prophetic worship. We'll see you next week.